In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Brothers and sisters, God is always blessing us. Always. He brought us into being out of nothing. He breathes life into us. He feeds us. He clothes us. He shelters us. He provides us with all that we need. And ultimately, he's preparing a banquet for us, the eternal banquet of the kingdom of heaven, with every good thing imaginable and beyond what we can imagine. But what happens when we take all these blessings from God, and instead of having them be reasons for us to love and to honor and to worship him, we make idols of these blessings? We treat them as ends in and of themselves. Everything that God made is good. Everything he provides is good. Everything that he's established in the world is good. And the law is good. St. Paul, in his epistle to the Galatians, as we just heard, speaks about the law and the purpose of the law. The law is good. It comes from God. Ultimately, we are to live by God's law. And his law is written on our hearts as Christians, right? To live by God's law means to live according to his purpose. It means to love him. The Lord Jesus himself says the first and great commandment is to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it, to love our neighbor as ourself. There's no part of that that isn't for us as Christians, right? It's all good. But the law, the purpose of the law, just like the purpose of everything in this world, is to lead us to God. It is to enable us to be in a proper relationship towards God, with God. That's its purpose, as well as having proper relationships with other people. This is the purpose of all things for us. But when God gives his law to his people, there's a danger that they will take that very law and make it into some kind of idol. And then it leads to death. So St. Paul says here, we're not justified by the works of the law. We're not justified by anything apart from God, from a living, dynamic relationship with the Lord, from giving him our whole heart. If you say, God, I don't want to give you my whole heart, but I can keep these commandments over here, and I can, you know, do every dot and jot and tittle of these commandments over here, but I just don't want to give you my whole heart, what good is that going to do you? It's not going to do you any good. So we're not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ, St. Paul says. This simply means that Jesus Christ is the one that we're made for. We're not made for the law, but we're given the law to lead us to him, right? Man is not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath is made for man. This is how it works with everything. And the Old Testament law was not even the fullness of life lived for God, but it was leading us to that life. And so ultimately, the law, the true law that is written on our hearts, is life lived for God. It's life lived in Jesus Christ. It's the fullness of that life. And the Old Testament law was preparation for that. The real perfect law written on our hearts as Christians comes from the Holy Spirit. It is, you could say, the Holy Spirit alive in us, the Holy Spirit acting within us, joining us, uniting us to Christ, leading us to the Father. It's the life of the Holy Trinity at work in us. This is the ultimate law that is our purpose as human beings. So St. Paul says, because he recognizes that the written law in particular, and any of the things that exist in the world for the sake of our relationship with God, that those things can become idols, can become ends in and of themselves, and that we have to beware of that. So St. Paul says, I through the law died to the law that I might live to God. I through the law died to the law that I might live to God. Certainly, we're called to live according to the Ten Commandments. Certainly, we're called to keep the moral law that's written in our souls. You know, certainly we are to be very careful to honor God in all that we do. But lest we make anything an idol, we have these words from St. Paul. I through the law died to the law that I might live to God. Everything is for the sake of our relationship with God. And we, brothers and sisters, we all experience the reality of making things into idols and then discovering that when we do that, we simply find death. We simply find death. We've all experienced that. It should be familiar to anyone over the age of like 10 that this happens. Certainly, if you've reached adulthood and you're halfway self-aware, you recognize this in your life. You know what I mean. We fall in love with some ideal. We cling to some pleasure. We make an idol of some person or some relationship or something. And what happens? We expect it to make us happy, but instead it makes us miserable. That thing that we thought, you know, if only we had this, if only we achieved this ideal, then everything would be perfect. And instead we feel empty when we achieve that, or when we think we have it, when we grasp for it. If I just found a husband, if I just found a wife, if I just had a baby, or if I just had another baby, or if I had the perfect job, or if I had the perfect house, or if I lived in the perfect state or city, or whatever it might be, if I had the perfect church without those annoying people, or that priest who goes on and on in the sermon, or whatever it might be. We think that if everything, all the circumstances were just right, then we'd be happy. But it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. And we know that. All of these things can come to us as blessings from God, all the things that I mentioned. A spouse, children, homes, whatever God provides, they're blessings. Absolutely. But if we treat them not as blessings from God, but as our God, if we make them our God, our idol, then they will not make us happy. We will have what we wanted, but we'll be miserable. In other words, we thought to find life, and instead we found death. But then hopefully what happens when we discover that is that we turn away from those things as ends in themselves, and we turn back to God. And then, together with St. Paul, we can say, I, through the things of this world, even though I may have received them as blessings from God, I, through the things of this world, died to the things of this world that I might live to God. And that's it. If you get this and you learn to live by it, that's all you need. Just not to worship the creature rather than the Creator, as St. Paul says in the Epistle to the Romans. But to worship the Creator rather than the creature. To get sick of making an idol of the creatures and to begin worshiping the Creator with our whole heart rather than the creature. To live for God and to find life instead of living for this world and finding only death. The Gospel has Christ showing Himself so abundantly clearly, you know, in everything He does. Christ is showing us with complete clarity that He is the life. He is the way, the truth, and the life of us, His people. He gives life to this poor, dear woman who suffered for 12 years that we heard about in the Gospel. She had this flow of blood for 12 years and suffered, and she went to all the doctors, and none of the doctors could do anything. And she ended up just empty and desperate, begging for help. But she discovered how to turn to the Lord and to receive healing from him. And so the Lord shows mercy to this poor woman and to this poor little girl who for the same number of years, 12 years, has lived in this world and now has died. But our Lord Jesus Christ is the life. Life is in him. And so he comes and he raises her up from the dead. So don't we see, brothers and sisters, the reality here? Aren't we sick of trying to have life without Christ, of saying, Lord, I'm willing to do this and this and this, but no, you can't have my whole heart. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the only ultimate answer to all of our dilemmas, all of them, every single one of them. He's the ultimate answer, the perfect answer to all of our struggles. He's the only truly safe and eternally effective vaccine who provides everything that we need to be healed of the illness of sin and to have eternal life. If we chase good health or popularity or lots of money or pleasure or whatever it might be, it will end in death. And you can get a million vaccinations and still you'll die, right? Doesn't matter how many you get, you're still going to die. And if that becomes your God, then all you have is death. But if we come to the divine liturgy, if we live the life of the church, if we live life in Christ, and we receive the precious body and blood of our Savior as the medicine of immortality, as Saint Ignatius the God-bearer says, with fear of God and with faith and love, then life in abundance is ours. But of course, when we come to the divine liturgy and we receive the Lord's precious body and blood, we must receive with the fear of God and faith and love. We must come in the right spirit. Even that can become something that we treat sort of like an idol, like a thing we do, but not as the living reality of coming into communion with the living God, something awesome, something, you know, mind-blowing, something that we should approach with trembling, with tears, with recognition of our own unworthiness. And so as St. Paul and all the saints say, you know, if we live for the world the other 6 days of the week, and we come on Sunday to get our shot of grace, what good is it going to do for us? If we're not careful, we'll eat and drink unto our condemnation. But I'm not saying, and neither is St. Paul, neither are any of the saints, that we have to come as perfect people, you know, having perfectly kept all of the commandments, and otherwise there's no hope for us. No. If we think we're righteous, if we think we're perfect, and we come like that, we'll also partake unto condemnation. We'll also partake unworthily. But God forbid, not as perfect people, but as sinners who are repenting we come. Right? As those who know our weakness and our need for healing. Not as thinking to find life anywhere else in the world, but only in Christ we come. To the one place where we'll receive that life. And only thus are we able to commune rightly in that spirit, losing all hope in anything else and saying, no, only you, Lord, can put me back together. Only you, Lord, can heal the brokenness in me. Only you can give me life. Brothers and sisters, please take this to heart, these words. Don't let your communion be unto condemnation. Be zealous to come with all humility and love. Love for Christ, love for the Holy Trinity, love for the church, all the saints, love for your brothers and sisters, love for your enemies, those who've hurt you even. Come seeking healing for your wounds, and then it will be life-giving. And so, again, we can paraphrase what St. Paul says and say together with him, I, through all my experiences and brokenness and the emptiness of this fallen world, died to this fallen world. I, through becoming sick of my egotism, died to my egotism. I, through even the blessings that I received from God, died to them as ends in themselves, that I might live to God. To Him be all honor, praise, and glory, to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, always, now, and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen.